What a gift. God's doing some pretty amazing things, isn't he? In our very midst, God is at work and at live. It's good, hey? Is it? Well, there's two people that think it's good. Let's warm it up in here, people. Not soccer warm-up. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yes. God is good. He's alive. We are continuing in that broad topic, God life. Specifically, we are pressing into these areas of spiritual warfare, and even more specifically, areas of armor that God equips us with so that we can fight this fight. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to, or invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And if not, we will have some of the scripture up on the slide. And if you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles and would love to get you one. Just let us know. Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Your strength, church, needs to be in Jesus, not in what you can do, in the power that you can generate in being self-actualized. Those are all rumors and myths, and they will not bring you actual power. Your power has to be rooted and centered in God, in Jesus alone. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So Paul's talking about two things. He's saying and identifying that there are different levels that are within this world, that's our physical world that we interact with, as well as in the spiritual realm and the spiritual world. Now, this is difficult for us in our material world, but we need to acknowledge and then live with the truth and reality that there is life as spirit. There's a spiritual world that we cannot see, that we cannot readily identify without the giftings of Jesus. That's the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But we need to set ourselves so that we're fighting, so that we're moving with this reality, this spiritual reality in mind. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. We talked about this last week. Listen to the stand. Listen to how many times it happens. Stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, let's see how many people have belts on today. Can you show me your belt buckle? You laugh. But the thing is, Paul's given us these tools that we can use to center and fix our minds and engage in what's happening in the spiritual world around us. Now, I invited you last week to begin praying the armor of God every day when you wake up in the morning. The reality is a soldier doesn't go to sleep with his armor on. He takes his armor off, he puts it aside, and when he gets up the next morning and he's about to go to battle, he puts his armor on again. So I invited you. Now, did you think about it, and not every day, but did you think about it once, did anybody put on their armor this week? All right. Now, we on the coast are typically and generally late adapters. What that means is it takes us a bit of time to grab onto and engage something. And I fit in well here, because when change comes, if I'm not bringing it, I go, I'm not sure about that. I want to challenge us again, church. Okay? This is real battle. This isn't just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. This is real. And if you're facing difficult times in your life and you're not equipping yourselves with the armor that God has given you to wear so that you can fight what's going on around you, you are at a disadvantage. Okay? So if you're not daily focusing, getting up in the morning, and please, if you put a belt on, when you buckle that belt, just let that start. That's the belt of truth. Truth is the beginning. It's the first piece of armor that Paul tells us about. Truth is the way that we see and identify who Jesus is, his love for us, the hope that we have in Christ. So when you wake up and you put your belt on, begin to put your spiritual armor on. Because one of the schemes of the devil is for you to go, it's not really a big deal. He's not really doing anything. And we get lured into that spot, that hook, of thinking that there's nothing going on. And the reality is, if the devil can cloud your vision in thinking that, you're fighting without any armor. You're fighting no matter what. Okay? So come on, church. Next week when I ask, I'm hoping for 6 hands. We're going to double our number. We're going to go from 3 to 6. Here we go. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, that's where we're at today, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Okay, so we've got this concept, this idea of standing firm. Stand, stand, stand. Here's the armor. Wrap it all in prayer. Prayer is your lifeline. Prayer is what keeps you connected. Prayer is how you hear what God is doing and what God has for you. Now today, what we are going to do is our goal is to essentially define righteousness, to discuss, because the opposite of righteousness, something that puts us in a place of unrighteousness, is sin. We're going to discuss that, and then to finally land on the righteousness of Christ. Now, there is a lot that is wrapped up within this idea and this concept. And I wrestled throughout the week, and I couldn't understand why I was wrestling. I was going, okay, I just want to explain really what your righteousness is about, God. And I prayed about it through the week, and it felt like there was a truth that landed on my lap in a new way that I haven't experienced, or in the fullness that I experienced it this morning, and that is this. There are certain pieces of armor that you put on and that you choose. Every decision you make has an element of truth. You can choose truth or not, right? You can choose it or not. Now that's buckling on the belt of truth. This breastplate of righteousness, there's something so significant about it, because it really isn't your breastplate, right? It's the breastplate of Jesus. It's the breastplate of the one who came with love, with embrace, with a desire to reconcile humankind to God. Right? That was the heart. And it's his work of life, of going to the cross, of taking all the sin, which we're going to talk about, nailing it to the cross, rising from the dead, because death couldn't hold him, and bringing that life to us. That's truth. That's the gospel, that we have life, that we have freedom there. Now that's the breastplate that you get. And when you come to Jesus, your breastplate is hanging on by hinges. There's a picture of a breastplate up here that we'll just go back and forth to. So there are different models, different breastplates. That might be more of a Hollywood model. But picture a breastplate that's yours. It's going to have gashes in it. It's going to be hanging on by threads. It's going to be one that you can't. You come to Christ, right? And he takes his righteousness, his breastplate, and puts it on you. So in a sense, we can define it and we can understand it, but more than anything, it's just like the helmet of salvation. We can't save ourselves. We can't make ourselves right. More than anything, this is a gift, a real, true gift. Now let's go back to the definition. Righteousness, acting in accord with divine or moral law, being free from guilt or sin, morally right or justifiable, a righteous decision. God is the most pure being in the world. Before time, God was. God is outside of time. Where we have a beginning, God did not have a beginning. God doesn't have a beginning. His purity is such that when something is blemished, it can't handle being in proximity. Does that mean God, sometimes we hear this and we go, well, something is unright, and if I can't be near God, then God doesn't really love me. It has nothing to do with God's love. It's a matter of what is in our spiritual and our real world. God is perfect. He is right. He embodies this moral right, this goodness. We are imperfect. It's as though we are sugar and God is water, right? What happens when you put sugar into water? It dissolves. It's wood in flame. What happens when you put wood into flame? It burns. Now, let me say this again. We on our own cannot be morally right, but what Jesus did was he brought his rightness to us. Okay, and it's so important that we understand this. Jesus brought the rightness of God to us, spiritually, physically, emotionally. We can be right. Other words for it are uprightness, justice, blamelessness. Now, 2 Corinthians 5 is just talking about that ministry of reconciliation. I want you to listen to this as though Paul was speaking it to us as a church, to Crossroads. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. What's a worldly point of view? You look at somebody and you judge them. You look at somebody and you take them apart. You look at them and you think about the clothes that they're wearing. You think about the way that they talk, the way that they look, the way that they smell. Paul's saying, knock it off. Stop it. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us, drew us to him, who brought relationship to himself through Christ. And in doing so, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, so remember, when you come to Jesus, there's beauty, there's truth, there's healing, there's hope that happens to you, but at the same time, Jesus gifts you. He gives you the ministry of reconciliation. And that's the ministry where we go out and we intentionally love people with the love of Christ. The ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, 2 Corinthians 5 again. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Now, let's just pause here. Not counting people's sins against them. Okay? So our righteous God, our God who is fully right, who is fully pure, who embodies everything that is good, looked at us. People he created, people who were lost, and said, I don't care about the way that you smell or the way that you look or the mistakes that you make. I love you. I love you so much that I'm going to do something that causes me pain. My son, my spiritual son, I'm going to confine him into this body, and the son submitted to it, where he will receive all pain, where he will receive all of the junk, and he's going to wash it clean. He's gonna take all the junk. So when Paul says, stop looking at people the way the world does, he's saying, do it the way that God looked at you. Washes it all clean and brings us into a place of being right. Wow. Right? Wow. In doing this, he has committed to us that same message, that same reconciliation, that same movement of hope. Now, you may be sitting where you're at and going, man, I can't keep my stuff together at all. I don't know how I could even think about trying to reconcile or even be nice to people. Well, that's okay. The first thing you need to do is you need to understand that, again, there are only two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of this world in darkness. There's a kingdom of hope and light. That's Jesus. And the kingdom of light is, in this moment, invading the earth. Every day we are closer to seeing the fullness of God's kingdom come to us. And Jesus invites us into it. How do we wage this war? Right? Because Paul's saying it's different in Ephesians 6. We wage it by doing the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Okay, remember that's the first step. Be reconciled to God. So if you're saying, I can't do anything, I'm hopeless. Well, are you reconciled to God? At the end of our worship, we pondered and held before God, what is something that is blocking us? What is something that we're holding on to where we need to say, God, you can have it all? Right? First, be reconciled to God. Now, if all of a sudden you're sitting there and you're going, okay, I know what that is. I haven't actually moved into that kingdom yet. We will have prayer teams that want to pray with you to see you move into that place. That's the first place. Now, you may be a believer of Jesus. You may have moved from that one kingdom to the next. And you may be standing in that place, and that's beautiful, but not yet experiencing the fullness of Jesus. You can experience that fullness. Well, how? Well, start by putting on your spiritual armor. Right? Start by putting on your belt of truth. What are the lies in your life? What are lies that you are living right now? What are lies that you are believing right now? What are lies that have been told to you? What are lies that you have received and held on to? I'm a failure. I'm awful. I can't do anything right. Or maybe it's hidden behind some truth. That's your next step, okay? Reconcile to God, then your next step is that. And you join in this work of ambassadors. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, there's this word called imputation. And imputation means something that transfers from one to another. And sin is imputed in three different ways. The first is that as Adam sinned, he imputed, as in sent it internally to the rest of the human race. Every single one of us has sin. It's been imputed to us. Okay? The second thing, the second way that sin is imputed is that sin was imputed. Jesus received the sin of the human race into himself. And he destroyed it. It actually doesn't have to have any power over you anymore. It will have power in the world around it, and that's where we fight it. Remember we talked about Ephesians 2, the evil of the world, the evil of the flesh, the evil in the spiritual world that is Satan. So it doesn't mean that it's at this moment being eradicated, but sin's power on you does not have to be. And why is that? Because our sin, when we choose Jesus, is imputed to him, and his righteousness is imputed to us. His righteousness covers us. No? I'm going to say yes. I don't think you little two-year-old know what you're talking about. It's my daughter. Now, what doesn't really matter is if you understand that word or not. I'd encourage you to look it up and to play with it and to understand. There's three ways, okay? Adam's sin is covered to humankind. Our sin is transferred into Jesus. Right? Jesus takes the sin. We take to Jesus, and the transfer back, the exchange from that, okay? It's an imputed exchange, is his righteousness, the moral goodness of God. That's what we carry now. You know, just pause for a second. God, the creator of everything, the one who is outside of time, the one who loves us, that's the righteousness that we have. It's not just a little bit. It's not just a dose to get you through. It's the righteousness of Christ. That is your standing before God. Unreal. There's nothing that you can do that can separate you from the love of Christ. Now, what does a breastplate do? It's interesting. At the end of last week's service, somebody came and was having a conversation with me, and they said, you know what, the way that you described that, Joel, I'd never thought of it before, that that belt of truth, because in my message I talked about the belt of truth buckles your pants up. It buckles up the dress that would protect all of your legs and your lower region. And this person said to me, you know what, I wrestle with lust, and if I put the belt of truth on and I choose truth in my mindset, in the way that I think about women, in the way that I interact with my wife, in all of that, if I put truth on, it actually keeps me protected. And I went, that's brilliant. You're bang on. The same with the breastplate. What does the breastplate protect on a soldier? The breastplate protects all of the internal organs. It protects the heart. It protects everything going on. Now, if you're struggling with your heart space, if you're struggling with darkness, if you're struggling in that, what you need to do, put your truth on, okay? Truth will break any lies that are around, and it may take some time. Don't be discouraged if it doesn't happen. It can happen instantly, okay? God can take something and wrench it free. Sometimes God allows us to move through a process of healing. Regardless, healing is there 100%, okay? So put your truth on. Next, put on that breastplate of righteousness that will protect your heart. Protect all the inner organs, everything that is going on. And we understand that the armor is both offensive and defensive. I was trying to think in my mind how you would use a breastplate offensively, and I couldn't quite come up with anything. Like a chest bump. This is primarily a defensive weapon to protect you. Why? The enemy wants to rip your heart out and stomp on it. He wants to confuse you, he wants to distort you, he wants to tell you lies and have you believe them. Put on your breastplate, okay? That is the rightness. It's not a half rightness. It's not the kind that you buy at the dollar store. It's the kind that is manufactured with love, with time, with effort, with sweat. That's the work of Christ, isn't it? That is what we put on. That is what protects our heart. There are two quotes that I want to touch on just as we are going to move things into a close here. The first is this. Man approaches God most nearly, C.S. Lewis said this, man approaches God most nearly when he is in one sense least like God. Just wait. For what can be more unlike than fullness and need, than sovereignty and humility, than righteousness and penitence, than limitless power and a cry for help? And what C.S. Lewis is saying is stop trying to do it on your own. Stop trying to manufacture your own healing. Stop trying to fix yourself. Stop trying to protect yourself with your own measures. It's not going to work. It'll have limited effect. But when we approach God with the reality of who we are, needy, we receive the fullness of Christ. When we approach God with humility, we receive the sovereignty. We are full heirs, not just half heirs, not just distant cousins that are pushed aside. We have full access and right, legal right to the throne through the work of Jesus. And this last quote is from Martin Luther. He said this, "This life, therefore, is not righteousness, but growth in righteousness, not health, but healing, not being, but becoming, not rest, but exercise. We are not yet what we shall be, but we are growing toward it. The process is not yet finished, but it is going on. This is not the end, but it is the road. All does not yet gleam in glory, but all is being purified." I want to suggest that Luther was partially right. I think Luther had a stance that looked, and too often we accept that we're not going to be there, and we give up. And we say, well, I'm just going to let it go. Paul talks about that. Should I just go on sinning so that grace can abound more? Should I take advantage of it? No. And while there is some truth in what Luther was saying, and that it's not righteousness, but growth in righteousness. Absolutely, it is growth. But our reality, church, is through what Jesus has done, we have righteousness. We have health. It's closer than we realize, church. Now our challenge, here's where the challenge is, to move from this place recognizing that God has given us his breastplate of righteousness, that we are made right. Okay, that's the first thing. You are made right through the work of Jesus. The second thing is this. What are you going to do with that breastplate? Are you going to take it and go, wow, this is this beautiful gold shiny thing. I'm going to hang it in my closet and I don't want any scratches. I just want to make sure that I take care of it. Like putting our Bible on a shelf or putting our faith aside when we see someone who might challenge it. No, the challenge is to every single day put on that righteousness. Now here's the thing, and here's where Luther had a partly right, because we're not yet there yet. The kingdom is coming. It's invading this world right now. Okay, there's a movement from God, and every day we're closer. Every day we need to put on that breastplate and the armor that we're moving through as we engage the world in what the ministry of reconciliation. As ambassadors of Christ, we are on an offensive. Part of offense is defense, but we are offensively moving. Now I'm going to invite our ministry team, our prayer teams, and our communion team and our worship team, if they can make their way forward. And I want to challenge you, if you are sitting there and something connected for you, whether it was during worship or whether it was during this time, that we can pray for you, we want to pray. Everything is held in confidence. If you are hearing these truths and you're going, there's something, there's this lie that I've held that I need to release and let go. And I've tried to do it on my own. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and it keeps coming back. If you're in that situation, come and let our prayer team pray with you. Can I invite you to stand as we pray? Well, Lord, there's something so overwhelming and significant when we stop and realize what you have done for us and how much you love. And it's as though, Lord, you've gifted each one of us with these tools, with these things. And too often we leave the package unopened. And so I pray, Lord, that there would be an opening of these packages. I pray that, Holy Spirit, that you would come and fill this place. I pray that you would bring giftings to life that have laid dormant. And Lord, just give us a glimpse, a deeper glimpse of what it means to be right. Holy as you are holy. And so, Father, I pray for anybody who's standing here who's trapped in a lie. By the power and authority of Jesus, we claim health. We claim a breaking of the enemy's movement there. I just ask, Lord, that you would move in this place. And we wait on you with anticipation and excitement, knowing that your kingdom is moving. And we just ask, Lord, that you would bring it into a fullness. In Jesus' name, amen. So just welcome you, church. If you want to sit back down and pray, this is a space for that. If you want to make your way forward for communion, please be welcome to do that. And if there's something that one of our prayer teams can come alongside you with, invite you to make your way there. Be blessed this week, church. Put on that breastplate. Put on that belt of truth.